In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, and God, Amen. As we are accustomed that during this part of the Coptic year where we are approaching the end, we find the church is bringing to our attention the words of the Lord Christ in both the Gospel of St. Mark and the one in St. Matthew, speaking about the end of the world. And one of the marks of the final days is deception. And the Lord is warning us that take heed that no one deceives you. If we speak about the main deceivers to man, we can find three main deceivers. If we rank them from the third to the first, we go and find in the third place comes Satan. Maybe this is surprising to us that we think of Satan as being the least among the deceivers. He is, yes, a deceiver, yet he is still known, and we all know his ways. As St. Paul says that about his ways are not hidden from us. Satan went and he deceived our mother Eve. He told her, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. He was able to deceive her not because of the craftiness of the trick, but because she has something wrong inside. She wanted to be like God. That's why he was able to hook her into this net. That's why the Apostle James says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Satan is a sales person, but he will never be able to force you to buy something. He will sell when you are willing to buy. The second group comes deceitful men, like false prophets, those televangelists, and those talk show hosts. Most of them, they are just, this is their function, this is what they do, just to speak for a purpose that's not what they declare. They come in the second place, they are more dangerous than Satan, simply because they come as sheep in sheep clothes. That's why it's hard for a lot of people to recognize them. King David describes them by saying, not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. The catch for the people here is not the desire of the heart, but the ignorance. Being content of being easily to be led. Anyone who will say something that's appealing without examining it, I will just follow, thinking of myself that I am smart enough to understand everything without being knowledgeable or have the background that make me able to discern what is right and what is good will make me a liable prey. As King Solomon says, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe, saved from the traps of deceitful men. In the first place comes, without equal competitor, the heart of man. And this is not how I rank them myself, it is how the Bible also ranks this. Man's own heart comes in the first place as the main deceiver. In the book of Jeremiah, we hear that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? How many people are led astray by their own hearts when they are deceived with it? The problem with the heart here is, of course, I trust my own heart. I cannot doubt that my way of thinking or how I feel is wrong. So how can I detect if I am deceived by my own heart? There are certain signs that can help me to reach this conclusion. My heart is deceiving me. The first sign is that when I make a decision, then search for the reasons to justify it. I already made up my mind, I'm going to pursue this. My heart is leaning towards this. Then my mind will work to justify what my heart wants me to do. Let me give you some examples. The first example from the Bible, from 1 Kings chapter 22. King Ahab decided he is going to launch a war against Ramoth Gilead. He made up his mind and he even discussed the subject with the king of Judea, Jehoshaphat. And then he started to try to find reasons for it. Then they brought false prophets and who told him, yeah, go for the war. God will be with you. When he was confronted by a true prophet, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, and he said to him that this will be a destruction for you and for the children of Israel, he said, this man speaks evil against me. He put him even in prison. He didn't like what Micaiah was saying to him. Why? He was deceived by his own heart. He made up his mind, I do not want people to bother me with facts. Unfortunately, the story of launching wars because of this is what I want to do, and then I will think about reasons, is a story that takes place in all generations, even in our time. We find this happening all the time. People go and launch wars, and they will think about the reasons, and the reasons that change as far as they go during the war time. Another decision that many of people make it and then think about it is when people marry. A lot of the people, they see someone, they click with this person, and then they marry her or him, and they will think about it later on. And they find reasons. Why did I marry this person? Justify the decision for themselves. This is, again, another example of a heart deceiving a man. I admire our father Abraham when he wanted to choose a wife for his son Isaac. He did not send Isaac to beg for himself. He sent his servant Eliezer. And he told him, you go and beg for my son a wife. Eliezer decided in his mind, I'm going to search for a person who is godly, who is hospitable, and the one who is going to offer to serve me and serve my camels is the one that I'm going to beg for the son of my master. Eliezer was free from deceit in his heart. He only applied the reason, the rationale, and the godliness that he learned from his master. That's why he went and he found Rebekah. To prove this point, after he begged Rebekah and came back with her, Isaac, without knowing whom she is, what she is up to, he looked to her and he loved her. Why did you love her, Isaac? You don't know anything about her. His heart clicked. We cannot blame him. But if Isaac went first, maybe he could find any other girl and he would love her and he would marry her and then justify for himself, why did I marry her? This is again another way of making a decision based on the inclination of the heart, not based on the reason or godliness. I know that I am deceived by my own heart when I tend to blame God and others for my misery. Many, many times we find people just blaming everyone, blaming God, blaming the church, blaming others. I am miserable because of them. The best example from the Old Testament is King Saul. In his mind, he was suffering. His suffering came because of the evil in his heart. He is jealous and envious to David. He pursued him and he went after him and he dedicated his life trying to hunt for David. He was deceived by his own heart, thinking that the cause of misery is David, not the deceit in his heart. How many times we just sit with ourselves and we meditate upon the misery that we are going through and how people are causing us this, how God is not fair, how he is not treating us in the way that we deserve. Again, if I tend to do this, maybe I am definitely I am deceived with my own heart. I am also deceived by my own heart when my idea about myself is a mere impression and not examined by facts. Many of us, we think of ourselves as being God-fearers. We are kind people, we are honest, we love everyone. And all of these are just impressions. If I ask you, how did you base your judgment? What are the criteria that you use in order to tell yourself that you are a God-fearer person? We might not find any. We might think of ourselves that I fear God just because this is what I think. But meanwhile, I do not fear to sin. I do not even feel rebuked when I sin. I do not hurry to repentance. I am not by any way or mean in a relationship that is consistent with God. I do not regard what is pertaining, what is related to God. And at the end of the day, I still think of myself, I am a God-fearer person. It's not by impression. It should be by facts, where I can look at something concrete and then I say, I am lacking this and I wanted to change in that. I want to improve in this. That's why people who are examining themselves in the right way, they confess, because they see what's happening and what's short. Many, many people do not feel the urge to confess simply because they have a good impression about themselves, just an impression that's not fact. I am deceived by my own heart when I tend to postpone in order not to admit that I am not ready to change. Another way how our hearts are deceiving us. I do not want to say and admit that I am not serious yet. Then I will do it tomorrow. This is what exactly the governor Felix did to himself. Felix, he attended, actually he brought to himself St. Paul. And St. Paul talked and expressed his ideas and his belief. Then we read in the book of Acts, as Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, that's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. He was moved. He was filled with fear. It is the time for him to repent, to come to the knowledge of the true God. He was not serious yet. That's why his heart deceived him by saying, when the time will be convenient, I will call for you. How many times our hearts do this to us? I will change next week. I will start praying seriously tomorrow. I'm going to confess whenever it's time for whatever. Keep on postponing and postponing. We do not want to admit that we are not serious yet. I am also deceived with my own heart when I justify my wrongdoings as responses to others' wrongs. I am justified to hate. I am justified to hold the grudge. I am justified to lust. I am justified to curse. I am justified to lie, because this is how I respond to others' wrongs to me. Here again, I am deceiving myself. There is no reason, there is no justification for leading a life of sin, for doing something wrong. There is no justification for returning evil for evil, or making a lie. This is just when I think of myself, this is right, it's fine, I am justified, I'm excused, then my heart here is also deceiving me. I am deceived by my own heart when I use good words to describe sinful acts, the white lies. What do you mean by white lies? A lie is a lie. Getting even with the store. The clerk didn't give me what I want. He was not good to me. Then I will go and trick the store in another way and we get even. And this is nothing wrong with it. Calling fornication and entertainment. We look at it and we watch and we laugh at what we see and say, this is entertainment. This is a good word for something that's shameful. In the same story of King Ahab, when he wanted to go to the war, the servant of the king told Micaiah, go and say word of encouragement to the king. Now he is calling lie encouragement. Giving a good word to a sinful act is another way of how our hearts are deceiving us. The last sign, I know that I'm deceived by my own heart when I use the phrase, I am a sinner, to avoid a rebuke, not to admit a fault. This is very often that I want to cut the discussion short. I am wrong, I am mistaken, but I do not want to hear it. I want to get out from it. Then I say that I am a sinner. Truly, I do not feel that I am a sinner. I just want to avoid the embarrassment of the situation. I just want to get out from it. If I am a sinner, this should make my heart to be lowered, and I will seek repentance. But just saying I'm a sinner to avoid the whole discussion, to come out from it safely, this is again another way of a heart is deceiving the person. We should be very careful when we say it. Am I a sinner? Do I mean it? Am I going to work on it? Or I'm just saying it to avoid a difficult situation? The Lord is warning us that we should be very careful not to be deceived. Satan, deceitful men, they are around us all the time. They will never be able to catch us unless we give them reason. But my own heart, the heart that I have in my own chest, is the deceitful one above all others, above all things. I have to be very careful in examining this heart and exposing it to the light of the Holy Spirit, so I would be able to see if there is a deceit in it, and I will ask God to purge it out from me. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.